This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 81 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
You should have seen the giant hand motions I was just making during that intro, John.
Oh, see, I missed out on them not doing a live thing.
Yeah, we should do one of those again.
Yeah? Yeah. We just got to get the scheduling right.
Well, working at the same place, it's kind of hard sometimes.
Same place, different shifts.
Right, exactly, so... But anyhow, hey, let's talk about some shows and stuff. So, John, yes. What did you watch this week?
Way too much stuff.
Yeah.
But I think quite a bit some too. Of it needs to be talked about. You know, some of it just doesn't need to be talked about.
Yeah, we don't need to jump into some great long detail about, like, for instance, The Middle for me. You know, it's a show I enjoy. It's a half hour. I mean, I'm surprised it's still on. But I don't know. I like the dynamic of the show. I like the janitor. Was it Neil Gaiman? That's his name.
What's his name? It's Neil Flynn.
Neil Flynn. All right. I don't know who Neil Gaiman is.
Neil Gaiman is the guy who wrote like.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm gonna caveat with I work night shift. I just got off shift. I'm on the drowsy side right now. So, anyways, like I was saying, I like The Middle. I don't need to delve into great detail. It's a fun show. That was a decent episode this week, so.
Excellent.
Yeah. What about yourself, sir?
Well, this was the first week that we got our DC shows back, so why don't we just jump off there?
I think it's a good place to jump off on. Monday, Supergirl. She's sad because Mon-El is gone.
Yes, but not just sad, but like bottling it all up and changing personas sad.
Yeah, like basically abandoning Kara, Kara side to just be Supergirl.
Right, because Kara is weak, and Kara makes decisions with her heart, and Supergirl can just do stuff and get stuff done.
Visually, I really enjoyed the scenes, actually, where she was daydreaming. Like at the beginning of the show when she's kind of floating in the sky and she's kind of daydreaming about Mon-El. And then later on, I mean, I thought, you know, those were presented really, really well. And there was just kind of like, that's just good TV kind of.
Absolutely.
excuse me. You know, Adrian Pasard, Pazdar, I mean.
Yep.
You know, he introduced us to Supergirl. Is he a Supergirl villain in the comic books or just a DC villain?
I think he's just a DC villain. He's just a dick. But that's kind of like how Lex Luthor started off as a Superman villain and became kind of an overarching villain. You know, he's still mostly a foil for Superman, but, you know, he's become president of the world. He's done some really nasty shit.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we are introduced to him. He goes for a power play to take over Catco. Well, she's off being the president's press secretary.
Right.
And long and the short of it, Lena Luthor, and I'm assuming based on her friendship with Kara and Kara's urging to stop him from doing it, she took made the power play in taking over Catco. So she is now the owner.
Yep, which is going to be interesting because I kept waiting all last season for her to – you know, do the typical thing in shows and show her evil side or, you know, finally flip over and turn on Kara and become the Luthor. But she never did, even though it seemed multiple times like they were going to do that.
Yeah, see, they sort of teased it, but in the end she made the quote-unquote right choice.
Right. Yeah. And I liked that. So I'm hoping that this season we're not going to have to sit here on pins and needles and wonder, oh, boy, now that she owns Catco, is she going to become... evil? Is she going to? One thing that really bugged me this episode, though, was listening to her talk and how she had a really hard time keeping her English accent or American accent. Sorry.
Oh yes. Yep. Yeah. It did stand out as you were saying. It did stand out from time to time. Yeah.
Yeah. She had a hard time uncharacteristically not going British.
But basically in this episode, Kara and her circle of friends were all worried about her, trying to get her to be herself, even though she was still mourning and grieving, but she wasn't allowing herself to be mourning and grieving. She was bottling it up inside and just fighting crime as a way to try to push those feelings aside. But of course, by the end, she confronts, accepts them, and then tries to be one of the gang again.
Yeah, she wasn't being like emo or goth or anything like that. She was just like, no, I'm taking care of business.
She was just sad.
Yep, I'm doing what's got to be done.
Yeah, she's just sad.
Yep. And she got very mad because, and I kind of got mad too, because Jimmy misused the bat signal. Oh, sorry, the Superman watch.
Yes.
He called her to the office to say, you didn't turn in your story on time. She's like, you used the emergency wrist communicator for when you were in dire peril to tell me that I didn't complete an assignment.
Missed a deadline. Yeah.
Yeah.
And which caused her to quit.
Yep. She quit. She's like, no, to hell with this.
Now, but by the end of the episode, she'd taken her job back after Lena bought it, the company, bought that go. So
now, the other thing was, we kind of got introduced to the new villain for this season. Not just Adrian Pasdar, but Odette Annabelle. Yeah.
Yes.
And it was interesting because we got that scene at the end of the last season where the Kryptonian scientist guys, I guess, like dark guys, were sending off something in a capsule and said, you know, hey, you're going to take over the world. And we didn't know how that was going to play out, although it's kind of a ruined thing because all summer long we had headlines that were like, Odette Annabelle signs on as new villain for Supergirl. You're like, okay, so I know when I see her. So it kind of took some of the wind out of the sails when you see this one who's just, you know, hey, I've got a daughter and oh, my daughter got trapped and by the destruction wreaked when the nuclear stealth submarine was trying to fire on the city. And
she got some superhuman strength.
Yeah. So, you know, if we had never known what was going on, then we might have been like, oh, this is cool. You know, is this going to be another Kryptonian or what is going on? And we already know that this is going to be a villain. You know, so she had her little nightmare and woke up drenched in sweat. And we're like, oh, start of something bad.
Yeah, I hate it when they do that. It's like when you have a guest character on a show and they put their name in the credits and you don't see them to like more than halfway through the show.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't like that.
It's a dick move, basically.
Oh, big time. Hey, speaking of dick moves, on this week's episode of The Flash, or, you know, the season premiere of The Flash, pretty much at the very beginning, Cisco ruins Arrow for us by telling us that he's been working for the last 5 months with Mr. Terrific there, Curtis and Felicity, over how to get Barry out of the Speed Force. And it's like, so they did make it off the island.
Right.
Okay, yeah. There was a microbe of doubt, you know, in me about that. But
yeah.
But some weird, turns out to be killer samurai robot shows up.
Yeah.
And is challenging the Flash.
After they put down Peekaboo, which was kind of a waste of a villain.
Oh, massively.
I mean, they brought her back. She had a whole episode last season. Now they bring her back for, like, the opening bit. Like, before even the Flash title appears.
Yeah.
They bring her back for the opening bit and let Wally and Cisco and Joe beat her down.
That was kind of sad a little.
It kind of was.
Yeah. But it just, you know, all the return, like Arrow, Legends, and Flash all did something. They took their season finale cliffhanger and solved it in the opening few minutes of the show.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, the cliffhanger we left you with all summer long. Yep. Done. All right, let's move on to, you know, story of the week now.
Yep.
And this one was Barry going into the Speed Force. And essentially within the first 10 minutes of the episode, they've somehow – Sisko, who is a flipping genius apparently. I mean, we've established that he is, but can somehow build a gun to do something that no one – that he would not know how to do.
Right. But only because he combined – by your powers combined with Curtis and Felicity and a couple others that he name dropped.
Yes.
You know, they all work together in their little think tank in their off time, you know, recouping from island explosions and stuff like that and fighting crime to come up with a concept of quantum physics beyond anything that's on the planet right now.
Yeah. So, essentially, he builds a gun that he shoots into the Speed Force and...
That's meant to stabilize it, stabilize the prison.
Yes, and they're supposed to launch something into it that... masks that Barry's still there, even though they're pulling him out, because we all know the Speed Force is going to collapse without somebody that was in there to stabilize it.
Right.
So they pull Barry out, and essentially he's all beautiful mind here at the beginning because he's been in the Speed Force and his mind's screwed up. But all it takes is knowing that his sweet beloved Iris is in trouble, and he snaps out of it.
I groaned really hard at that part.
I did. That was the big groan moment for the episode for me, because I'm used to this show, like, causing a problem and solving it immediately and wrapping things up rather quickly and everything.
Yep, I'm also even used to Sisko being able to pull inventions out of his ass.
It
almost seems like part of his superpower kit, you know?
Yep. But yeah, that was a groan. It's like, that's how, like, they didn't even have to hook him up to some machine to slow his brain down or you know, just balance everything. Or he didn't have to do yoga or, you know, nothing like that. It was just, Iris is in trouble. I'm okay. But yeah, so...
Now,
Barry's back, faster than ever.
Yeah, let's point out that Barry is faster than ever, faster than Wally.
Yeah.
And so fast that he immediately exploded out of one of those cells.
Yes.
Like, he blew that up, which that's housed the Reverse Flash before. Somebody who was his equal, nay, his better, and more powerful than him, faster than him, etc. And he just blew this part. He didn't, like, build up a lot of speed or anything. He just, like, looked at it and went, and it exploded, and he ran away.
Yeah, he didn't even phase through it or anything like that. He burst through it.
Yep. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see where he goes from there.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is going to be a problem later on down the road. Like, is he too fast? Or are they just going to be like, nope, it's good.
Fair enough question. But anyways, they introduced the villains of the season, correct?
Yes, the Thinker and the Mechanic, I believe.
Who we've already established Sisko is probably smarter and more technically savvy than both of them.
Right.
But
because they build samurais.
But at least it's not a speed-forced villain.
Right. Which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I can definitely deal with that. Because
right.
We've complained in the past where they had Speed Force villains, you know, as the main foil, but they never really, like, we didn't get any high speed fights for the most part. It was just like, I can run faster than you. No, I can run faster than you. You know, where was the creative use of hand to hand combat slowed down? You know, the world around them slows down while they're just lightning speed, fisticuffs and kicking and,
yeah.
It was just like, let's race. Stop right. Racing and fight.
So over on Legends.
Yes.
At the end of last season, they're back in 2017, but there's dinosaurs there.
Yes.
And within the first 30 seconds, the dinosaurs are sent back to their own time because of Rip's time bureau that pops in.
Yep.
And this is one thing that I didn't understand at all. Rip, at the end of the last season, he basically leaves them with the ship, and he's like, well, I'm off. I'm going to – the Time Lords are gone. Not the Time Lords, but the Time
– Masters.
Masters, thank you. The Time Masters are gone. We need – you know, you guys do your job. I'm going to, you know, start something up. And he takes 5 years to start up the Time Bureau and everything. But, of course, it's a blink of an eye because it's time travel. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, he disbands the Legends as opposed to giving them a job.
Yeah, he basically, at the end of the last season, was like, oh, I can't teach you anything more. You're the true team, and you don't need me anymore. And now he's like, you don't need me anymore because I don't need you.
Yeah, and he disbands them, and then they, of course, go about their mundane lives for 5-6 months or whatever the time period is. And then when, which they never explained how it happened, but when Julius Caesar showed up, Caesar showed up down in Aruba or wherever with Rory, and they try to go tell Rip about it. They go to the Time Bureau, and they're treated like they're big pieces of shit, and that's a big joke. And it's like, why would Rip teach? Like, I mean, Rip is the one who's trained all these people. Rip is the one that's established this. He's hired these people. He's trained them. He's found all these people. And he apparently seemed to teach them that, oh, by the way, the Legends, they're terrible at this. And we need to hate and ridicule them and tell them that they're all pieces of shit.
Yep.
So I didn't get that at all.
No, I didn't understand that. It seemed ridiculous. It also seemed rather petty. Like he's like, oh, you guys are finally good enough to not need me. I'm going to go over here. Oh, and I'm going to create a bureau and the world doesn't need you anymore. So get lost.
And I'm going to diss you the whole time.
Yeah.
So of course, when the Time Bureau, go ahead.
He basically pops into the scene, gets rid of the dinosaurs and takes their ship. He's like, nope, I'm taking the ship and, you guys get lost. You all suck. Go live a normal life.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Which, honestly, that would have been the better way to end the season if that's the direction they were going. Like, leave that so that when we see, you know, when they pop up the little thing that says 6 months later, it would have been after the summer. So we would have been like, okay, I feel like time has passed instead of nope.
Yeah, no, I agree with that if they would have done that layout. But, of course, once they convince Rip and company to go to Aruba to grab Caesar – he escapes from Rory, and there's a mix-up as to who the real Caesar is, and some college kid in a costume. They grab the wrong people, and then the Time Bureau doesn't believe Rory now that Caesar was ever there because he's just a drunk moron. And everyone else, though, of course, they do because they find, like, an actual, like, Roman gold coin. So they all go down to Aruba to try and they steal the ship and they head down to try and take care of it themselves. And, of course, they screw it up when somehow – Hayward loses a giant book he was just holding in one hand.
Like, giant book.
Yeah. I mean, like, a 600-page book where he, like, they're bringing Caesar back. And they're like, yep, the book shows how it's supposed to be now. Let me take a quick selfie with you. And somehow I misplaced a giant flipping book.
Yeah, the book
that was just in my hand.
The book was supposed to essentially be like the newspapers in the Back to the Future movies, you know, where they change as history changes. So he was looking at the book and he's like, no, look, you know, it's different now. And so then they put Caesar back on his path and they're like, look, it changed back to what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You'd think that they'd have technology, you know, like a Kindle that he could have just carried that around with him instead of a giant friggin' book.
With no Wi-Fi back there, though, wouldn't have updated. But regardless, I mean, he somehow loses. Like, if I was holding a giant book, I would notice if I wasn't holding it after.
Yes.
Like, you know. But Caesar gets it, and then, of course, history's all changed again because Caesar takes over the universe, basically, the whole world, the Earth, and they've screwed it up again. And so the Time Bureau comes in to fix it, and, of course, they don't know how to fight in the field, and they get captured, and then the Legends have to save them, and then the snooty bitch from the Time Bureau is like, now that I've seen you in person, you guys are really horrible. And... yeah, essentially.
And part of me wanted to be like, fair point.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah. And essentially, Rip and his team head back, and Sarah, they keep the ship, and they're going to go do – they're going to go fuck up whatever it is they're going to screw up, I guess.
So we sit here and we talk about how Rip and his Time Bureau, you know, were assholes. However, on the flip side of that, it's got to be noted that the Time Bureau seems to have – awesome technology. They don't need to fly around in a single ship, which is a single point of failure, could easily break down. They have actual, like, portable windows. They could just open a doorway and then close a doorway. That's awesome. Okay?
Yeah.
And secondly, there's a lot of them. there are a ton of these Time Rangers or whatever you want to call them. Whereas with the Legends, they got what, like 6 or 7 of them? Right. And those people come and go and they seem to be susceptible to like romance and heartbreak and stuff like that. The Time Bureau is effective. They're efficient. They do the job well. They are just what we need. I kind of am rooting for them over the Legends because the Legends are, and at their core, a bunch of fuck-ups.
Yep. And the thing I have to say about these doorways that the Time Bureau open up, it's not just from like, oh, we're in New York City, so we want to be in Aruba, so let's boop, and a door opens up, we can step through in Aruba. No, a boop, door opens up, and they're in the Cretaceous period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't just travel. They don't just travel from A to B. They travel through time A to B.
Yeah.
Through space and time.
Yeah. Instantly. And then, again, can instantly close it. It reminds me of that that one Family Guy episode where they had the quick joke and it said, you know, and now the one time travel movie with a fully functioning time machine. And they were like, let's set this for the Cretaceous period. And they turned it on and suddenly they had dinosaurs and they're like, ah! And they flipped a switch and it took them right back. And they're like, oh, no, Jeff's gone. No, I'm over here. Oh, okay. Whew. At least we all got back from that. And it was like the end. You know, that's what these doorways remind me of. It's like, okay, we're going to go here. We're going to do this. And we're going to come back and close the door and we're done. The end.
Yep. Nah. Yeah, that is what it was. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think about every adventure that the Legends have been on, they've screwed it up somehow, whether it was bickering or fighting or scuffling or
being stupid and
arrogant
or egotistical or
idiots.
Yeah. But you know what? Matt Ryan is returning as Constantine for at least 2 episodes this season. And
that's just swell.
I'm going to stick with it because I want to watch those because I'm a big old fan of Matt Ryan as Constantine. So
I am as well. I'd love to see him come back for more than just a few episodes, but hey, I'll take what I can get.
I'd love to see his show return. I'd love to see Constantine have a crossover with Supernatural. That only makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
It would also be great if they were all in the same universe, but.
Yeah. Well, they could be. We don't know. Anyways. Keeping with the DC universe, let's jump over to Arrow here. Finish out the week here.
Yep.
So, everyone got off the island except William's mom. So now Oliver's a single dad.
Which is really by far the worst decision that the show could have made, in my opinion.
Oh, tremendously. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's only kill off one character and let's make sure that it's his mom so that, you know, Oliver has to have even more guilt than he had before. And
he's hired a nanny that apparently used to watch him when he was a kid. And, you know, she must live with them and take care of the kid 24/7. Because, you know, when he's not being the mayor, he's out being the Arrow. And, the kid's sad all episode. And rightfully so, his mom is dead. And then the kid's like, the man that killed my mom is here. Where is he? And he points at Oliver, and I'm just like,
yeah. If they turn this into a, I'm going to train him to defend himself, I'm going to train him to use a bow and arrow, and then pretty soon the kid's like, oh, now I want to come out on patrol with you, and I'm going to sneak out of the house and fight crime. I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't go that far either.
But hey, at least they did away with the flashbacks like they promised. Oh, wait. No, they didn't.
No, they still had flashbacks. They just weren't flashing back to Oliver's past. They were flashing back to, oh, hey, look, Siren's still alive.
Yeah.
She didn't die on the island like they told us. And let's see her all episode. And at the end of the episode, let's show a flashback of how she was alive on the island and how she didn't die.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're still doing them. They're just not – it's not about Oliver being on the island anymore.
Yeah, or Shanghai or Star City or wherever.
Right, wherever he was. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah.
It was ridiculous. And by the end of the episode, you know, we've established that the kid is here to stay, which, again, really sucks. I'm really upset about that. We've established that Mr. Terrific has apparently perfected his T-spheres so that they can outrun a missile in flight and reprogram it on the fly. And we have established that, Speedy's in a coma because they don't know what they're going to do with Willa Holland's, contract. And there's a picture out there that Oliver is the Arrow.
Yeah, but that could be easily solved with Photoshop.
I agree, and I hope that they do that, because otherwise it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's easily fixed with the Photoshop as well. So, anyways, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the episode. A lot of it was based on Lance feeling guilty over shooting Siren because, you know, it's his daughter on another planet, but not this one. Another alternate universe or whatever. And she had shot her, and it was led to believe that she had died on the island, but she did not die. She was saved, and now she's back torturing them, attacking them, being villainous.
Yeah.
Yep. So. But anywho.
Yeah, it was not aside from Supergirl, it was not a really strong comeback for any of these shows.
No, I agree with that statement. I agree.
I'm hoping that they pick up, although the previews for the next episode of Flash really made me groan hard, and that was, oh, we're going to show off the new super suit, and it's like, the suit is going out of control because, yeah, like,
and there's hijinks.
Yeah, it overinflates, and, they didn't even show a villain. They didn't even show him fighting crime. It was just literally clips of the suit going crazy.
Yeah, it was. Keeping in the DC world, let's talk about Gotham.
I forget that is in the DC world.
So, in this week's episode, Bruce brings the sword, the dagger, the $2 million artifact he bought, and to a scientist to have him check it out. And the scientist, or the historian, that is, and his grandson, you know, they look into it, and of course they discover that basically it says he can use it to kill Ra's al Ghul.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, Ra's al Ghul shows up to get it. The grandson's off hiding with it. He kills granddad. Later on, at the end of the episode, Ra's kills grandson. That surprised me.
Yep. Yeah, that surprised me as well. But I also, I was like, okay, well, good, because they weren't going to have a way to, you know, add another character to this show. And B, it's entirely possible that he'll bring him back with the Lazarus Pit and be like, wah-ha-ha-ha, now you're going to be evil and be on my side. Because now they've introduced that. They're just they're going to do it to everybody.
Well, and they also introduced this person that they made into, like, a human dog. That acts like a dog. That was fucked. Yeah, and him and his handler were off tracking the grandson and trying to find the artifact. And
it was stupid.
It was the majority of the episode. But anyways, speaking of stupid, Inhumans.
Oh my god.
So all right. I understand they lived on the moon, but I also understand that they kept an eye on the Earth, but yet they don't understand anything. They understand nothing about Earth. They have no concept of anything or how anything works. They're literally a bunch of spoiled rich brats, all of them.
Yep.
All of them are. You know, I mean, just from like Medusa. The blonde chick there that saw Crystal, thank you, who's basically like, hi, I'm the only human that wants to help you. Oh, no, Medusa's just going to shit all over her the whole episode.
Oh, yeah, not Crystal, the astrophysicist lady.
Yeah, he's just going to shit. She's just going to, you know, the whole episode.
Shit
whole
on episode. Her, hold a gun to her, run off on her, steal her stuff.
Steal her laptop.
She was a
bitch. Oh, massive. Absolutely massive. Oh, well, she's single-minded and trying to find her family. Yeah, no, she's selfish and obnoxious and disrespectful and rude. And then little princess with her injured giant dog, when the guy that hit the dog goes to get his ex-girlfriend who happens to be a vet tech. What a coincidence. And then she's just like, why isn't he fixed yet? Why isn't he better? I don't understand the concept of how healing works.
Right.
Like,
were in my planet, then things would be different, and he'd be fixed already.
Yeah, well, you're not on your planet. Oh, and when she calls her a princess, like, oh, well, why don't you just relax, princess? How did she know I was a princess? I was like, oh, come on.
Didn't you want to just, like, slap yourself in the forehead?
Yeah, I did, actually. I did face palm myself. I'm like, why is this show so bad?
Yeah.
Sincerely. And then Ken Leong's character, the one that can see everything and predict Karnak. The best move, Karnak, thank you. Just wants to cultivate marijuana and have sex with a human.
Yeah. Yeah, he essentially becomes a loser.
Oh, tremendously. And then just, you know, I'm rooting for, like, you know, the bad guys to wipe out the royal family.
Yep. Pretty much. You know? I'm like, I see where they're going here.
Yeah, I just... Not a fan. This was by far the worst episode.
Up until this point, you know, the first few episodes, I was like, okay, you know, I can deal with this. Maybe they'll get better. It's growing pains, you know. When this episode hit and I got done, it wasn't even when I got done with it. When I was like 5 minutes in, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
But then by the end of the episode, I was like, this series sucks. It needs to be done.
Yeah. I'm going to finish it because there's four more episodes.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly. What it and it could have some kind of tie-in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because that'll be replacing it this winter. But holy crap, what a failed opportunity they had here.
Oh, yeah, massively. And I guess let's talk about the best superhero comic book show of the week.
Yeah, we've ripped on so many other ones, we might as well do some positive.
The Gifted, great episode.
Great episode.
Great episode. Great story. I mean, we saw Blink, is it correctly?
Yes.
Yes. Blink collapsed at the end of the last episode because she couldn't hold the portal open anymore.
Yeah, she had tried to teleport them miles away and she's not
used to that. And it was more than she'd ever done and she couldn't prepare. And unfortunately, as a side effect, not only did she go unconscious, but she started opening up, you know, random portals. And initially... they were able to keep kind of closing them, but every time they'd leave them open, like, the police would see them and bring more units in and remobilize. And, yeah. And so Mom, I can't think of her name. I'm just going to say Mom.
Yep.
Mom, who's got some nursing, she decides, all right, I'm going to help you. We have to go get, you know, XYZ to these medications to help her, but they're not over the counter. They're only available secured at a hospital.
Yeah, got to go into the Pyxis machine.
Yeah. So she and help me out.
Oh, Eclipse.
Eclipse, thank you very much. She and Eclipse head out. They find a free clinic. They get in there. He had been shot, so they pull off the old Teflon tape so that they can show he's wounded. The doctor, you know, they stitch him up and they help him and everything. But then he immediately calls the police. Basically, you know, kind of like, I realize it must be fun and exciting to be with a mutant, but, you know, they're bad.
Yeah, they essentially... They tried to do it as a domestic violence thing, like a mandatory first responder, but
because she had some injuries she had some injuries to her face from, you know, fleeing the Sentinels.
Yep.
And everything else that was going on, but I like the fact that she was like, "All right, I have not been exposed to this world, and from my point of view, my husband's a prosecutor, so, like, I don't think mutants are bad, but I think, you know, if they're a bad mutant, they're a bad mutant. And now that her kids are in this world, she's like, all right, I'm gung-ho. I'm in this for the long run. I'm going to do everything I need to do to help my kids to make sure that they're safe and they're sound and that nothing bad's going to happen to them. And if that means I'm going to help these other mutants because I need to help them so they can help me, I'm doing it.
Yep.
And I'm going to take the chances. And I thought that was great.
Yep. She took the correct path, I feel.
Yes. Unlike Dad, who at the end of the episode we believe was shot from the first episode, but when tracked it was a tranquilizer gun dart, if you will.
Yes.
Where it immobilized his body. And then once it wore off, we get several scenes of whose dick is bigger between him and the Sentinel agent.
Yes.
And ultimately, they both like, oh, well, I'm smarter than you because of this. And no, I'm smarter than you because of this. And then in the end, Dad's just like, look, you got nothing on me. But I'll help you as long as my kids are safe.
Yeah.
And they don't go to jail and they don't get sent off. So he basically, I'll sell everyone else down the river so that way my kids stay safe. So he takes the wrong path.
Yes. And yeah. Remember that he was like all tough and you don't have anything on me until they brought in his mommy for questioning, for simple questioning.
Yep.
And suddenly he's like, no, leave her out of this.
But then he grows a pair again by the end.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I've decided you really don't have anything on me, but I'll give you everything you want. And it's just so there will be a time when they all meet up again and mom will be disappointed in dad because of his actions and choices and they'll ditch him.
Yep. It's possible. Or he's been playing the Sentinel Services guy all along and he's going to do the double cross.
Pull
the chair out from under the ring and slap him in the back of the head.
Yep, that could happen as well. Oh, no, I got the metaphor.
Yeah. It was fun seeing Sharon Gless as the mother.
Oh, my God, I laughed hysterically, and it was really hard not to see. Like, where's her cigarette?
Yeah.
Why does she have a smoke?
And I just I wanted her to make a reference back to Burn Notice. I would love to see, like, another – like, I think that they could get Gabrielle Anwar to show up in this show, even if it was, like, a one-off thing. You know, she's not doing anything right now.
Right.
They could throw her in there, have a little Fiona action in there as well.
Absolutely.
Bruce Campbell might be hard because he's actually doing tours and you know, Ash vs. Evil Dead.
He's plugging his book.
Yeah,
he's plugging his book. He's got the new seasons coming out next year, and everyone's, you know, making, you know, they haven't renewed for next season yet, for a fourth season, but people, there's already campaigns going to make sure, you know, fan campaigns so they get renewed again. So he's busy.
But we got Jesse and mom, so
yeah.
You know, I think it would be easy. We could even get Michael, you know. I don't think he's doing – well, he's doing Shut-Eye, but that's a Hulu original, and they seem to do all those at once. So he's got time in between.
They just got to pop over for an episode and just, like, make a weird cameo and take off.
Yep. It would be great if we got him to do, like, one of his voiceovers real quick.
Yes. Oh,
when dealing with a mutant problem, what you have to realize is that every one of them is unique. You can't go at one of them with the same tactics you will with the other one. This is why the Sentinel drones are so helpful in a situation like this. It would, it'd be perfect.
Dude, that was an amazing riff off the top of your head. I just want to say that.
Just came to me. But also in this episode, we got to see Polaris inside prison, which apparently is not a mutant prison. It's just a prison where they have dog collars that shock mutants who use their powers.
Yeah, it doesn't disable their powers. It just hurts them bad enough they don't want to use them.
And the more they use them, the more it hurts them. So
here's something I didn't get, and you explained it to me. When she's in the shower and she's washing her hair, I didn't get
the black stuff running down her neck?
Thank you very much. I didn't get the symbolism of what that was until you explained it, that she was washing the dye out of her hair, and now we're seeing that she had green hair, which I couldn't see the hair was green. And that being said, in this day and age, first of all, dye doesn't wash out that easy, and someone with green hair isn't unusual.
Right. Yeah, both of those are true statements.
Yeah.
Like, people walk around with blue, pink, red hair, you know, Crayola red.
Yes.
It's not uncommon at all. So it wouldn't have really marked her as a mutant, I don't think. She may have been trying to fit in, but like the girl that was also there that was a mutant who looked like her skin was marble with blue cracks all through it.
Yep.
That's going to stand out a lot more than somebody with green hair.
Tremendously, yes.
I mean, has Polaris never seen Scott Pilgrim Saves the World? Or Scott Pilgrim Versus the World, sorry. Ramona had red, blue, and green hair. So.
Yep, she did. She did. I in prison, the humans basically shit on the mutants, and
which is like real life for them.
Right, exactly. So it's just, it's real life being mirrored, and it's turned up because they're in prison.
Yeah, and the one queen bee there basically made her mark by knocking Polaris down and kicking her firmly right in the abdomen and saying, hey, let's see how that mutie baby likes this.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and then Polaris gets thrown in the hole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because she used her powers to throw a table at Queen Bee.
Yeah, so. But we'll see what happens with the next episode. And I feel the need to mention that when – I don't know whenever this drops, but we are talking about shows that aired from the October 9th through the 15th. We actually recorded this once before, and the audio got screwed up, so we're recording again. So it's why it's coming out even later this week than normal. But we're not talking about any of the shows starting from the 16th forward. We'll talk right. about those next week.
Yes, in like 3 days.
Yeah, and yeah, we'll talk about those in a few days. But if you're wondering why we're not talking about them or why we're an episode behind, if you will. So, but yeah, I thought The Gifted was great once again.
Yes.
They're doing a phenomenal job with it. It's really the best X title that they got going right now for the TV because I was not a fan of Legion.
I know, yeah.
And
I loved it, but yep.
I couldn't get through it. Rude was actually bringing that up to me the other day about how you were telling him how you got to check it out, you got to stick with it, too. And he's like, struggled so hard through the second episode that he just stopped. He just didn't watch it anymore. So, but anywho. That being said.
Yep.
So The Good Doctor.
Yep.
I do enjoy the show. The formula is so thickly in place already that I don't know if I'll stick around.
It is a little frustrating how formula is.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Especially when you look at – and I'm going to compare it to House often because it's David Shore. But when you compare it to House, House was formulaic as well. You know?
Yes.
There was always some kind of – we opened on somebody who was mysteriously sick. They can't figure it out. They figure it out midway through, but then it's the wrong figure out. And then there was always like that moment when Wilson said something and House was like, wait a minute, and came up with the miraculous thing. But it was the in-between –
the aha moment.
Yeah. It was the in-between times of that formula that were enjoyable. They were –
yes.
Entertaining, you know. He was brilliant, but selfish.
When he worked down in the clinic and he dealt with the daily patients, if you will, or whatever, that weren't the, you know, disease of the week patients.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. There was enough filler in between where it was great.
It's hard with this character to find that same level of enjoyment.
Yeah.
Because his brilliance is also – comes hand in hand with his neuroticism.
Right. Like when – I can't think of her name, but the
– any of their names.
Yeah, either can I. Well, his name is Murphy, Sean Murphy. That much I know. But when she and her they head off to this hospital to get this liver for a transplant, and she is trying to talk to him, trying to relate to him, trying to figure out how to get him to open up. And I did enjoy that because, you know, I mean, she's earnestly trying to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out how to talk to him to generate a response.
Yep.
But, of course, you have this thing where they go to get the liver. They have 8 hours. They show up. Oh, it's already been out of the body for 3 hours. They only have 5 hours. Oh, the fog's rolled in. They can't fly the helicopter back. So instead of like a 15-minute helicopter ride, it's turned into like a 70-minute-plus car ride when they finally get the police escort to take them. Oh, Sean touched the liver and magically found a hard spot, which after determining, they decide we're going to stop in the middle of the interstate off-ramp, shut the road down, throw a towel on the back of a cruiser, take this liver that's supposed to be inside someone's body to save their life, and cut it open to take out this obstruction that's killing it that's the size of a nail clipping.
There was so much wrong with that scene.
And I'm like, how the hell did he feel that? Like, I didn't buy it. And that scene was horrendous. They could have pulled off to the side of the road.
Yep.
They could have hit the rest stop. They could have, you know, they could have done anything besides what they did, stopping the middle of the interstate.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, I hope not every episode they're going to try to figure out a way where Sean can do some, you know, guerrilla doctoring, if you will.
Because he flips
out. To prove himself, or show how smart he is, but then no one sees it. Or no one that matters sees it or hears about it.
Right.
And he's still given scut work and treated like crap by his, you know, his, his intern, but his attending. So.
Right.
But anyways, I don't know. I'll probably keep watching until I just can't stomach it anymore.
We also got introduced to his neighbor. And I'm not sure where they're going with this, because she seems like the young, feisty, free spirit, kind of the opposite of him type of thing. You know, she's like, hey, can I borrow some batteries for my controller? First off, get a wired controller, you idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Secondly, most controllers nowadays don't run on batteries, unless you're buying aftermarket controllers, and then those are usually garbage, so you should just shell out the extra money and get the official one. Anyway, I had a problem with that. But she's like, can I borrow some batteries? And he's like losing his mind because, you know, somebody wants something of his. And then she's like kind of flirty with him, but not really.
Yep.
And then by the end of the episode, he shows up at her place and is like, I'd like my batteries back, please. You took my batteries and now I would like them back.
Yep. And she gives them back, you know, to her credit. She's like, oh, you're right, sir. Here's your batteries. Please do not call the police on me.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what they're doing with that. Like, are they going to try to make this a love interest type of thing? Or are they going to try to have her be like what that female doctor was doing and, like, relate him to the real world?
But she'll figure it out faster for some reason because her little brother had autism or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Anyhow, moving on. Also on Monday nights is The Big Bang Theory.
Yep.
And, boy, I can't wait for young Sheldon to come back.
Especially if it's like the first episode was.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just The Big Bang Theory is what it is. It's not thrilling me. I don't even really recall what the episode was about. Gun to my head.
I just remember that it was Raj and Stewart both trying to hit on the same woman and – The same joke that they've reused multiple times per season, and it's just, it's been beaten to death. Give it up, guys.
Yeah.
Stop trying to make these guys, like, desperate, horny, womanizing.
Well, that's exactly what they've made them into be, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of relationships not working out, Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. What a
great episode. Great show. And this episode, Palmer and Riggs, they're going to make a go of a relationship.
Yep.
They very quickly realize that she wants things that he either can't or won't or is not ready to give her.
Right.
And instead of trying to see if it's going to work and sticking out for the long run, she just turns tail and leaves.
Yep. And in a very sad way, too.
Yes. And in a way, it's based on how he reacted to her as well. So he has some of the blame to carry.
Oh, absolutely.
It. Yeah.
But both of them are kind of in those places right now where they thought they could do it, but they can't really.
Yep. And they're not communicating well, that's for sure.
Right.
This episode, essentially, the long and short, it's a pop star who – some guy gets out of prison and it's like, oh, he's been stalking and harassing her. And what it is it's her ex-boyfriend. She got into a vehicle crash. Someone died. He took the blame saying he was driving, not her. So he got charged with a manslaughter and went to prison for whatever it was, 7 years, 4 to 7 years. She was supposed to keep in touch with him and this and that. And
take care
and
of
she
him.
Didn't. Yeah, and take care. And she didn't. And so now he's out of prison. He's like, look, bitch, I just went to prison for 7 years for you. You're going to hold up your end of the deal.
Yep.
And, so that's basically what it was about.
Yep.
This episode. But,
it's a good show. I still enjoy it a lot.
Great show. Yes, absolutely. As do I.
Riggs is apparently not quite as good off as he thought. Yeah, nope. He's not at a strong place in his life and relationship type thing as he thought he was. So,
yeah, and we see that. We see him go kind of reverting a little bit back to his, his crazy erratic lifestyle. So,
right.
But yeah,
love it.
I do. I'm a big fan of it. And I'll tell you what, another show I'm a big fan of. And for me, this is Mike. I'm so shocked how much I enjoy this show this season, and it's American Horror Story Cult.
Oh, yes.
And this episode, was phenomenal. It's the best episode of the season. It is staying strong. Yeah, it really is. I mean, this episode starts out making you think one thing, and then by the end of it, you're like, holy shit, I didn't see that coming. And I'm just going to say it. The first three episodes were a little slow. Episode four starts picking up speed, and it just doesn't stop. I mean, I'm really, really enjoying it. I think it's my favorite season of American Horror Story yet.
Interesting.
And I don't like cult-related stuff like the show The Path.
No, you
I know
really
we talked
don't.
About this. But that is like almost like a political cult.
Okay.
The Path is. This cult is more like the following cult, more like a I'm effing crazy and I'm going to make you do wild and crazy things to show that you love and support me. And the followers are like, okay, I'll kill people or mm-hmm. I'll kill myself or I'll do this or, you know. yeah, it's solid. It's solid. I'm actually excited to watch this week's episode. So
nice.
Yeah.
I may check it out if I get a chance.
You got anything you want to chat up? Something you're watching that I don't watch?
Not particularly.
All right. The Blacklist.
Yep.
So this is a decent episode. It shows Red rebuilding, you know, his empire some more by getting a hold of a plane that he now owns, that he's now acquired.
Yeah, commandeered.
Doesn't have any fuel. Doesn't have a pilot.
Yep.
But he's got himself a plane.
That's right.
Yep. And you know, he kind of gave the FBI a twofer in this one. He got him an African gun runner,
mm-hmm.
and a big old insurance fraud lady where they were forcing the police to shoot people.
It was a really weird, convoluted scam. Like maybe if I was bigger in the financial world, I'd be like, oh, ho, ho, they really nailed this one. But it just seemed like it was really kind of convoluted.
Essentially, it's this company that would buy up someone's annuity. So, like, say you won the megabucks or the lottery, and you were going to get, you know, $200,000 a year over the next 20 years. Well, this company buys your annuity payout from you and gives you a big lump sum, not equal to what you would get, and then they collect on your annuity every year, and they've given you your money.
Right.
But you need to be alive for them to collect on that annuity. And if you die, then they basically lose out on it. So what they're doing is when they find someone that may be terminal or there's something wrong with them or whatever, they take out a big life insurance policy on them. Basically, so that way they'll still recoup their money that they would have gotten that they lost from the payout because the person died. And instead of being like, you know, the 400,000 or whatever it is that they would get from the payout, it's like 5 million. So it is suspicious.
It's suspicious. It's also convoluted.
Very convoluted, yes. And of course they solve it and
still have no idea what the gimp suit had to do with anything.
Yeah, I don't get what the gimp suit has to do with that at all either, but it was there.
It was weird, too.
It certainly was there.
It was a gimp suit where he was strapped in spread eagle and had some weird kind of hot water bottle strapped to his mouth that he had to breathe into.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but
yeah.
Regardless, it was a good episode. It's a fun episode. It's fun watching Red rebuild.
It was fun too watching the troll character, that guy who's like, his arms and legs aren't quite the right size.
The guy that works the DMV.
Yes, and yeah. Red's always bullied him in the past and just like stormed in and been like, he's like, I'm busy, and Red's like, no, you will work for me, blah blah blah. And then this time, Red's humble and has to sit there in the DMV waiting room with all the plebeians, and the guy's like, nah, come on in. You look so miserable out there. I'll take care of you. Ha, ha, ha.
Wrestler's being blackmailed by the fixer. Help him get rid of the secretary's whatever that – the bitch's body. I'll just say the bitch.
Yeah.
And Red seems to know about it, so he comes to Wrestler and he's just like, you know, he says, if there's anything you need for any reason whatsoever – don't hesitate to ask me because I'm on your side because I respect you and I'll do whatever I can to help you.
Yep.
And Razzle's just like, no, but never comes to that. And yeah. Red's like, well, I hope so too. But the offer's always there.
I wanted James Spader to just like pat him on the back and be like, well, give it 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You'll be like, you'll come a crawling. So, let's see here. Oh, you're the worst. We really did see just how fucking terrible Gretchen is in this episode.
You know, the first episode of the season, we got focused on Jimmy running away and hiding. And he was actually not a terrible person while he was living in that retirement.
He was a good human being who looked out for his neighbor and worked hard. And
I mean, yeah, he was still an asshole to some of the, you know, more busybody-ish people.
Yes, and he still had his weird principles and beliefs. Yep. But
Gretchen in this episode is just irredeemable. It's not even that she's like, it's not like she's murdering people, but she's just an asshole.
We really see how unstable mentally she is. Yes.
Yeah, she's supposed, it starts off that she's supposed to be going back home for the first time in a long time to see the birth of her brother's wife,
First kid, yeah. Her brother's having a kid. And she's supposed to be there for that, and she does make it to her hometown there.
Yeah, I was going to say to her hometown, yes.
Yeah.
But she doesn't go to the hospital. Like, she keeps calling up her father and having the most random weird excuses.
Yep. But she goes and she finds like her old yearbook and is looking through it, and she finds a girl that had like leukemia in school, and
they were best friends at the time.
Yeah, they had been best. Well, in Gretchen's mind, they were best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we find out later, the girl just tolerated her because Gretchen just assumed she was dead, and then when she found out she was alive and had bought the local roller rink and everything, Gretchen goes to pay her a visit. And at first, she seems to be like she's being warmly received, but you know, by the end of the episode, basically, she's like, "Yeah, I don't really need to see you ever again."
Yeah.
Is essentially what she says, and she walks away. So.
Which, there was a lot of odd hijinks in there. Not even really hijinks, you know, they broke into our mall, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Which is now a derelict, dead piece of crap that some local teenagers are hanging out in. And like, lame teenagers, you know?
Yes, very lame teenagers.
Like, almost honor roll-y type teenagers.
Yep.
And, you know, they convince the kids to drink and smoke. They're like, come on, you're teenagers. You should be drinking. They're like, we've got tests to study for. They're like, come on, drink, smoke. Here you go.
And they did.
Yep, they did.
Yep.
And, you know, it devolves to the point that Gretchen and her friend there are talking about old times and starting to peel away the facade. But, you know, at one point, Gretchen just, like, takes the can of cat food that she bought for the family cat and holds it out to one of the boys and says, if you eat this whole can of cat food, I'll suck your dick.
And he devours it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in desperation, like watching him take his fingers and dip them in there and like shovel it right into his mouth. And then he shows her the empty can and her friend's like, well, you made a deal.
Yep. And then Gretchen actually starts undoing this kid's pants and everyone's like, holy shit, she's going to do it. And then the police raided. And by the way, the police would not have raided in which they did on the show.
No.
They would have silently entered in and tried to catch them off guard, not kick the door in from fucking 500 yards away and go, police, freeze!
Especially considering that they had absolutely no intelligence to go on. I mean, it's an abandoned mall. Somebody might have said there's some vehicles out in the yard.
Yeah, it was a trespassing complaint. They would not have 17 officers arrive on scene for that.
Waving their flashlights around, holding their guns, we assume, because, you know, they were yelling, police freeze.
Yeah.
They basically would have gone in and said, hey, you're not supposed to be here. Come on, move it along. Do you have some ID on you?
They'll get check to step
IDs. Yeah, make sure nobody's on probation. Make sure nobody's, you know, got a warrant out for their arrest. And then they would have said, come on, just move along.
Yeah.
This would not have been treated like a, oh my God, there are people inside here barricaded with weapons and they're going to kill us all. No. Wouldn't have happened.
But let's see what next week brings, because this was definitely a Gretchen-centric episode.
Yeah, and not a good one.
Yeah. No, not at all. The Good Place was good.
It was great.
Michael is very resistant to the learnings of Chidi until Chidi basically gets him to look at, hey, you can die now. Like, and you'll be gone forever. How does that make you feel? And Michael has a midlife crisis.
Because it's not just, oh, you can die. He's like, do you have any kind of equivalent of death? And he's like, oh, yeah, what is it? Like, every molecule in your body is ripped apart and put on a different plane of existence to be tortured for the rest of eternity. And it's like this miserable theological nightmare. And he's like, well, that can happen to you. Oh, my God, that can happen to me. I could die.
And he changes his clothes, and he buys a sports car, and he makes Janet become Jeanette and wear this tight dress and
become a blonde.
Janet's probably like the best character on the show.
She is.
The perpetual happiness and upbeatness and smile is, and just straightforward talking is just amazing.
She's just awesome. I love Janet.
And the other thing that Michael's having issues with is the fact that, like, he would make these elaborate torturing schemes, and the girl there that's blackmailing him and is taking over, they're just doing simple things. Like, for instance, hey, let's have Tahani throw a birthday party for this one guy, and we'll throw a better one, and that'll bother her. Ha 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 ha. And it works, because it does.
Yeah, at first, Michael's even Tahani's like, that won't bother me. I'll just have an awesome party. I was great at parties. And then she sees the other party and she's like,
and it works. And Michael is just so disgusted, though, that it's such simple plans and not these elaborate things like schemes like he came up with. But, it was a really solid, good episode.
The show is staying good and solid.
It really is. Yeah. Great. Yep. Genuinely surprised. But I look forward to see where it's going to go and keep going.
Absolutely.
Superstore. The Part-Timers was the episode.
This was interesting. It had some good humor, but right off the bat, they had one thing that could never have happened, and that was a major conglomeration hiring a 14-year-old.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
No.
I'm not 100% up to date, but I do remember back in the day, like, a 16-year-old can work 4 hours a day, can't work past 7 o'clock, can't work past, what was it, 9 o'clock at night.
On a school
On a school night. On Fridays and Saturdays, they can work 8 hours, Sunday mornings. Up until 10. And, you know, no more than 20 hours a week. Unless it's vacation week, they can work 40, or summer, they can work 40. 15-year-olds can't work more than 3 hours a day, can't work past 7 p.m., can't work more than 15 hours in a week. I mean, there's so many restrictions on that, it's not even worth hiring someone.
Right. And a 14-year-old can't even imagine.
Yeah, I realize it's television, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, I wasn't buying it. My wallet was firmly in my pocket, I was not buying it.
Yeah. But it was a good episode. It was solid. It was funny. There was some great humor in it. There was some great laughs in it. And
we got the other new hire of the day that nobody seemed to notice that she was a new hire. Like, she was a legit new hire, and she kept trying to go to people and be like, what am I supposed to be doing? They're like, I don't have time for you.
Yeah, every time she asked for help, I don't have time to help you right now, and storming off.
Just go do putbacks. What are putbacks? Yeah. Just do them. Just do putbacks.
And then Glenn's like, oh, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. And she's like, oh, thank God, because I really don't even know what this is or what I'm supposed to do. Oh, well, you're doing great. Just remember to punch in tomorrow so we can pay you. But great dry run first day.
Which, again, wouldn't happen, but that was still funny.
Yeah, exactly. The other funny story was Dina and
Garrett
breaking up.
Yes.
Because Dina's having some problems dealing with PTSDs, if you will, from the hurricane, from the tornado, that is. And so he says, so do you want to take a break? And she's like, yeah, I think it's a good idea. And then she tells someone that she broke up with him. And he's like, no, it was my idea to take the break. And then so he announces over the PA system that he broke up with her and that she's seen a therapist. which she feels bad for.
Yep.
And then she does this big elaborate scheme about them getting back together. And the second he says, yeah, all right, let's do it, she's like, all right, hey, by the way, I'm breaking up with you. And then does make sure there's a witness and then announces over the PA that she just broke up with him. It was hilarious.
It was. They did it really well.
Yeah.
Garrett is one of my favorite characters on that show. He's smart. He's funny. He's sarcastic. He's just a lot of good things.
This is another one of those shows where it's, you know, they're in their third season now, and it's just getting better.
Yep.
It's just getting better. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
So. I love it.
Thursday nights also is the return of Supernatural this week to CW. And
against my better judgment, I decided to watch this episode because you had talked how amazing it was last season, and you were like, it was back to its roots, it was back to Hunting, it was so good. And you know, I'd heard it from a couple other people too. They were like, oh, it really was good. So against my better judgment, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try it. I didn't watch last season. I haven't gone back to watch it, but I threw this one on. I was like, I'll record it, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I feel like I got robbed.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. No doubt about it. Lucifer's kid was born, and he is an adult, practically.
Yeah, in like 1 second.
Yeah, because – and he did so – well, my mother said that I couldn't be a baby in this world. I'd have to learn to grow up fast, so that's what I did. And then my mother said that Castiel's my dad, so that's who I've chosen as my dad, even though it's Lucifer. He's got powers. He's tuned into the angel, you know, angel network, if you will. We find out that when an angel stabs him directly in the chest with their blade, it doesn't kill him. It hurts him, but he pulls it out and he heals right up and he seems to be fine. So
we've got another unstoppable force that has to do with the heaven and hell mystery thing.
Yep. The one thing they did this episode that really shocked me, which was Castiel is gone. They burned his body. They set up one of those fire pillar gimmicks that they somehow managed to put together on a spot of land that had no trees to begin with, but they have this giant elaborate, you know, pyre or whatever.
And nobody called 911 to report that they saw a fire off in the field somewhere and someone was going to die from it.
Correct. Yep, no one did. So maybe they had a permit. I don't know. But regardless, I was just shocked that Castiel, like, he got killed, and I'm like, yeah, but he'll be back. No, he's, you know, his meat suit's now particles.
They've always established on this that angels have different hosts.
Yep.
You know, and as long as someone's willing to say yes, then they can come back in their suit. So.
But if it's not Misha Collins playing Castiel,
right.
Don't do it.
Right.
You know? So that's just my thought.
Oh, I agree.
But no, I don't know if maybe the show's better to watch or binge watch so that, you know, all the cool moments are together.
That could be part of it because that's how you watched the last season. And
it was how I watched the last season, but I'll watch episode 2 this week. It's on tonight, Thursday night, the 19th. So I'll watch it, and just see where it goes from there. And if you don't want to watch it, that's fine. I'll let you know if it's worth checking out or not.
Cool. I haven't decided if I'm going to watch the second one yet or not, but
fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is my new favorite show of the season. The Orville.
The Orville is really good.
You know, and in this episode, a lot more humor in this one. Some kind of stupid humor, like you had mentioned when you and I chatted about it. But essentially, you know, they engage the Krill. And they get a Krill ship. And that's in good shape. And they get these devices that allow them to look like a Krill.
Yeah. And they basically projectors.
Oh, thank you. And they're basically they infiltrate this giant Krill ship trying to find a book. Their Bible, basically, mm-hmm. from what they live by to try to understand them more. And
the teachings of Avis, which they made several jokes about the fact that Avis is the name of a rental car company in the 20th century.
Yes, they did. They did. This episode, it was more with the humor. It was definitely more along what I expected from the beginning.
Yes.
Episode 1. And I hope they move away from all the that type of blatant humor like that.
Yep. It was not, like, gross, but boy, it no. really took me out of a lot of it. It made this yeah. my least favorite episode so far, just because it was so ridiculous watching them try to fit in, and the fish out of water scenario, which we've seen played out in a million other shows.
Yep.
But it just, it didn't need to be here. I get it. You don't know about the krill. That's why you're trying to research them. Awesome concept, yep. you know, very Star Trek-ish. But the fact that they were just so ridiculous and like, you know, they couldn't even come up with names. They were like Chris and Devin and,
yep.
you know, they kept making stuff up on the fly and being really dumb about it. I didn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you, but there was a big powerful moment in the show. I mean, the Krill decide that they're going to blow up an outpost colony planet, killing hundreds of thousands of people. And so the captain and his first mate, they because of the Krill's pasty white skin, because their Earth, their planet, filters out 90% of the sun's rays, so the sun is basically – they're space vampires, and the sun will kill them, at least burn them severely. And to stop them from blowing up this colony ship, they rig the lighting systems to basically make the lights in the ship bright UV-style lights, and they burn everybody alive.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Cook.
Except the kids and the teacher, who they make sure are safely in their classroom with the door closed and shades drawn, and they didn't turn the lights, mess with the lights in that room.
Even the one kid who got away.
Yep. They found him and got him back in time. And then you have that powerful moment at the end where the teacher says, why did you save the children? And he's just like, because they're just kids. You know, they're not my enemy. And she's like, oh, you think they're not your enemy? They're your enemy now after they saw what you did. And it's just like, yeah, they probably are.
Yep.
So, I don't know. My least favorite episode, but I still thought it was great.
Absolutely.
So
it's still a great show, and I'm surprised each week by how much I enjoy it for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I look forward to watching every episode. So yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I only got one more show to talk about myself. Well, actually technically two. Do you have anything else besides Mr. Robot?
This is us.
I have not watched it yet. With my schedule and the wife's schedule and everything, we just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it. But was it good?
It was good. I'm just going to leave it at it was good.
Okay. Cool. We'll most likely – I have Friday, Saturday off this week, so I feel like we'll definitely get it done this weekend, catch up both episodes that we have in the can there – in the queue. So.
Excellent.
I watched Mindhunter. The Netflix original series, 10 episodes, and it is based on a novel by John Douglas and Michael Olshaker, and it's about how they took the existing behavioral analysis unit and grew it, expanded it, and made it what it is today, basically, you know, criminal minds. And they did it by interviewing serial killers to learn what they did, why they did, and to establish different a guideline or a guidebook of who these people are, the categories they fit into, why they do the things they do, you know, how they can use this to help see others and find others.
So basically they did it to create a Facebook quiz.
Basically, yeah.
Which type of serial killer are you?
It is very – so the authors of the book that it's based on, I mean, this is what they did. And so the show is based on their lives. So it is kind of a true story,
mm-hmm.
But it's loosely based.
Okay.
You know, there's definitely – like the names have been changed of the agents. They're not, you know, playing, you know – like the main character's name is Holden. You know, it's not John or Mark. But – the characters in the show are represented by characters in the book, and their names have been changed and this and that. And so essentially, like I said, the show takes place in 1977. It's about these FBI agents who band together and they end up interviewing serial killers, and it's 10 episodes. They average about 45 minutes to an hour, except one episode's only 34 minutes long. And there's a lot of talking. It's not a lot of action. Mostly talking. They're not really – I mean they're investigating a couple cases, but it's not one per show. You know, they're kind of spread out. There's an overwhelming storyline that is never addressed because apparently back 6 months before the show even debuted, back in April, they renewed it for a second season. So they're teasing the main villain, if you will, in the second season all through season one. But he's never addressed. It's just, yeah. So that was kind of weird.
Interesting.
There's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of talking. And there's some scenes that are written really well and come off great. And there's others that don't. One of my biggest issues is the main character has such a soft talking voice that even when he raises his voice, it doesn't actually get louder. Okay. And it's... it's kind of annoying, and I had to struggle through a couple episodes listening to him talk because, like, yeah. And then all of a sudden in the last episode, he just – like something happened, and his character flipped a switch, and all of a sudden now he's still talking in that monotone voice, but, you know, he's trying to relate to the serial killers to get these confessions. So he's saying things like, you know, to the kid that – the guy that raped and murdered a 12-year-old, like, I can understand. I mean she probably thought she was older, right? And he's like, well, you know, age of consent's 14. Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it's not your fault she looked like she was legal age. And she talked to you, so she obviously wanted you. And it gets more filthy than that, but I mean, like, 9 episodes, this guy doesn't talk that way. Now, all of a sudden, episode 10, he's talking in very, like, vulgar ways, but he's justifying it because it's how he's getting these killers to open up to him and everything. So, I don't know. Yeah.
So, do you recommend it?
I can't give it a hard push. I can't give it a hard sell. No, I can't. I know I watched all 10 episodes, but I think I just kept waiting for something to happen, you know? But I don't know if I'll bother to watch season 2 when it comes out next year.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I had seen the previews for it, and my thoughts kind of along the lines that you had said. You know, great idea, but boy, how are they going to make that, like, interesting? Because, like you said, you know, they're establishing this bureau by interviewing people. So they've already been caught. They've already done the crimes. They're in jail. I mean, this is not hunting them down and trying to figure out, you know, what makes them tick so that we can find them. This is like –
I mean, they do aid local police a couple of times with cases of looking for these killers or trying to figure out who did it. But, yeah, for the most part, what you're saying, yes.
I don't know that I'll check it out.
There's so much dialogue because it's like, we're going to establish this. Well, I don't like the way you're doing it. Well, that's too bad because I started this. Well, we're working as a team together on this. Well, yes, there's just a lot of, like, talking things out between each other, you know, the team that's put together to work on this and everything. So,
right.
But anyhow, moving on, Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot is back.
Yeah.
It was – I was really happy to see it come back. As the episode started off and progressed, I was not that excited. Like, the first half of the episode, I was like, all right, this is okay. It's not bad.
Yep.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't really grabbing me. It was kind of slow. But the second half more than made up for that. It took a shift. It took a twist that we've never seen with the whole character or characters, I should say.
Yes.
And it was really refreshing because all this time we've seen, you know, Elliot and Mr. Robot. We know that it's a facet of his personality. We see Christian Slater having arguments with him. You know, we got that one scene in the first season where he was, like, quote unquote, fighting himself, you know, doing the fight club kind of thing. But this was the first time that we got to see him in place of Elliot.
Yes. And the way it was acknowledged too was just like, damn.
Yeah, it was so cold and calculated, and basically Angela, you know, Elliot goes to Angela and he's like, hey, I need you to help me because you're the only one that knows when it's him, not me. And she's like, okay. And then he falls asleep and wakes up as Mr. Robot. And she's like, we've got work to do. And she's like prepared. She's got like an injectable solution in case Elliot starts to wake up, as she says.
Yeah, because she's very prepared, and she's part of this team and this plan, and she knows that Elliot could screw it up. And, you know, Christian Slater is just like, well, like, how do you know you're talking to me? And he's like, because Elliot won't look me in the eye.
Yeah, he always looks away.
Yeah, he always looks away, and you're not looking away. And then, you know, there's another part where he's like, well, you know, how can you, if he's your friend, if he really is your friend, how can you lie to him like this? How can you be so untruthful to him and you know, go work against him? And she's just like, well, no, because I'm, you know, even when I'm talking, she says, I'm not really keeping anything from him because I'm looking at him when I'm talking to
him. Yeah, I'm looking him right in the eye when I say this stuff. So how can I be lying?
And it cuts to Elliot as Elliot, and then it cuts back to Christian. So it's just, it was really well done, that whole part. And I agree, the first half was slow, but the first half did introduce us to a new character that is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. The I don't even know, he dresses and talks like a salesman.
Oh, but, that's, yes.
But he seems to be like a facilitator, a fixer.
Yeah. He is, man. He's like Harvey Keitel's character from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
You know? But the opening bit he has where he's at this place, this restaurant, and he gets like the final stamp on his card, and she's like, oh, and when your next visit, you get a free shake. He's like, well, I'll take it right now. Well, no, sir, it doesn't work that way. It's your next visit. And this, the whole scene with him trying to establish, you know, what time quantifies a next visit. Do I just walk outside and come back in? Do I have to go all the way home? It was hilarious.
It was.
Absolutely hilarious. I loved it.
Because I've lived through that. I know you have as well.
I've been on both sides of the counter on that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the video store was always big for that, you know?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Oh, look at that. You've earned a free rental. Oh, can I go? Oh, well, give me the free rental. No, no. That's not how it works.
Or at Linens and Things, you know, it would be like, oh, there's a promotion here where if you buy this item, then you get a $10 gift card. We'll put it towards the item. Well, no, I can't do that because you have to actually pay for the item to get the $10 gift card. Well, what if I return the item and then rebuy it with this gift card? Fuck off.
No, if you return the item, you lose the gift card.
That's right. It's a promotional item. Just take the $10 gift card and come back another time because that's the whole reason we did this.
Yes, exactly. The whole scam is to get you to come back in the store.
Yeah.
Okay?
Don't you understand how this works?
Spend more money.
It's marketing, bitch.
Well, yeah, it was a good episode. Like you said, first half was slow. Second half really picked up. The big, you know, reveal of Angela knowing when it's Christian Slater, knowing when it's Mr. Robot, or knowing when it's Elliot, that was super cool.
It was super cool, super creepy, and also, like, adds a whole new level of deviousness to her.
It really does. So that really kind of drew me in.
Yeah, she's been working with the Dark Army. She's been working with all of them to bring them down. There was a very interesting piece because, of course, the episode starts where the last one left off, where he gets shot, you know, by Terrell. And he recovers, of course, otherwise we wouldn't really have a show. Although, you never know with this show, we could find out that this whole first half of this season is a hallucination while he lays in a hospital bed.
Oh, or while the end of the episode is going to find out that the end of the season is a whole elaborate it's what's flashing before his eyes as he's lying on the floor dying.
Yeah, exactly. But there was an interesting part there where he basically, you know, owned up to the fact that he started this all. He said, fuck society. And he initiated the crashes and the power outages. And, you know, because right now the world's kind of, or at least that area of the country is kind of at a standstill. Like, they don't have power. They're all living with, like, candlelight and stuff like that. And they're rioting the streets. They had to switch over to e-coin as a form of currency. And he recognizes that he is responsible for this, and he thought that he was just sticking it to the man, but he's actually screwed over everybody else. And then it goes pretty political, and he starts talking about how, like, he set up everybody to be okay with complete, you know, craziness, and to rely more on fear than security and stuff like that. Yes. And it starts intercutting with clips of today's media, today's world events, because this show has always tried to remind us that this could actually be happening right now.
Yep.
So last season, you know, they had President Obama actually saying, Deaf Society has launched these attacks and blah, blah, blah. And
they did it in the intro. They, you know, they replayed that in the intro this week too, or the previously on. I mean, yeah, it's a great show. I'm really glad it's back. I'm looking forward to this week's episode. Absolutely.
Me too. Glad to get back into some good mind fucking.
Yeah. So I don't have any more shows to chat about. How about yourself?
Nope. I'm good.
I did not get any movies in. We watched Teen Wolf as a movie, a family movie night, a 1985 version of Michael J. Fox. There was a bunch of stuff I remembered, a bunch of stuff I didn't remember. Stuff that happens in the movie they wouldn't have happening today, like the homophobia and other things. But it was fun to rewatch.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I've seen that movie so many times that
it's been a while since I've seen it. That's for sure.
I didn't watch any movies either, but I'm okay with that. I do intend to check out The Babysitter at some point.
As do I. I plan on it as well. A buddy of mine, Brandon, he put a review on his blog about it, and I read it, and he really enjoyed it. You know, good campy. It was a campy comedy horror. So
excellent.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
I don't really have a ton of news or trailers to talk about. I just want to address a couple quick things.
Okay.
Longmire's coming back for a sixth and final season to Netflix, effective November 17th. I'm pretty damn excited about that because I really enjoy the show. Once again, it looks like each episode is going to be an hour plus, like they did season five. Mm-hmm. And also, there's finally been a release date for The Strangers 2. And this one's called Pray at Night, March 9th, 2018. It's coming out.
Is it P-R-E-Y?
P-R-E-Y, yep. As in Hunting a Prey. And I know you had mentioned that you haven't seen the movie.
Yes.
The first one? Yeah, you got to check the first one out. I don't want to give it away. Pretty creepy, eerie ending to it. Definitely worth a watch if you haven't watched it. So, yeah.
Okay. I will check it out.
And I watched the trailer to Pacific Rim 2, and it looks like dog shit. Just watch it for yourself to see how much dog shit it looks like.
It does look like dog shit, and it makes no sense, and the physics are ridiculous. And
Yeah, it's dog shit.
I saw the trailer for the New Mutants movie, and I'm wondering why it looks so much like a horror movie.
Oh, dude, that is straight up a horror movie.
If they hadn't put New Mutants in the title, I would never have known that this was supposed to take place in the X-Men universe.
Either would have I.
It looks like a horror movie set in an asylum. And that's basically a horror movie in an asylum. Done.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
So I'm not sure why they're going with that. That's like an episode of a show could be a horror theme in an asylum, but I can't picture like this is how they're going to introduce these characters as a horror movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird take. Compared to the other, you know, like comic book movies we get. But I don't know.
I'm not convinced. Maybe they'll have a second trailer that'll make it look awesome. But as of right now, I could miss this one and not be that upset.
There you go.
Yep. And I also saw the preview for Black Panther. And I was sorely disappointed by the fact that it had rap music in it.
Mm.
It is not, I didn't think that this was going to be a movie that was all about black power and such.
A blaxploitation flick.
Well, yeah. It really felt like they were going for the, you know, hey, let's make sure that everybody knows that all these people are African. Well, how about we just do like traditional, or how about we do cultural rather than, yeah, we got to get some gangsta music on here. It kind of diminished it for me.
Took away from it for you.
Yeah, it really did.
That's too bad.
But I'll still check it out. It's the Marvel Universe. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I loved his character in Civil War. So,
as did I. So, which is surprising that they'd introduce him in that way, because he definitely, well, I say in that way, but he's already been established and introduced. So,
yep,
whatever, whatever.
Yeah. I think that's about it.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's the show this week.
Again,
for the second time. questions, comments, whatever, reach out to us. We're on the social media platforms. On the Facebook, the show is at What Did You Watch? And on Twitter, the show is at What Did You Watch? And I'm at Superstar ML.
I'm at The Quantum Geek, G33K.
And thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.